Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing good. We're doing very good. Another day in the life. And it's been a minute since it actually came out. I say that it's been maybe a week or 2 weeks, but no, actually it's been 3 weeks to be fair. Just got into it yesterday though, and playing around with it for the first time. Gamma API. It was some nice stuff. And also a new platform that is rolling out for no code iPaaS, which is Lumino from Ariox. And let's see, what else?
No code iPass. Okay.
So rather than having to deal with, I mean, it's not too different, I suppose, than Zapier or Make, except that now you're talking about like super complex systems as opposed to just the regular old nitty gritty. And their agent system is actually impressive. So it's one of those where they thought about the system first before and like thought about the agentic use prior to actually thinking about like, oh yeah, no, people need to be able to understand it better than the agent. Like, no, the agent needs to understand it better so that they can help the human, right? So it's a nice platform in that sense. And another pile of money in the AI world outside of just investments in general. Like even when it comes to venture capital, they're still just blowing as much money as possible in AI startups. So outside of that, a $38 billion deal with OpenAI and AWS for obviously another partnership for additional compute. And I think it's like a multi-year commitment with OpenAI. It's another day of watching the progress move forward and watching the still watching that shit talk though. Like it's still still on like a daily basis seeing people talking trash about how the progress isn't there or that the ROI isn't there or that the overinvestment is happening or the bubble is happening. And I don't know what to tell you. Like on our side of the fence, it couldn't be any different. Yet another like human robotics company yesterday. Just like they're coming out of the woodwork at this point, right? It actually kind of reminds me, with the exception of like how bad and all that kind of stuff went, it reminds me of that moment in Iron Man 2 where Tony's sitting there doing the congressional hearing and Hammer's there and they're showing the video of how all the different countries from around the world are trying to copy the Iron Man suit. That's what it kind of looks like to me, except there's like maybe I think that I can off the top of my head, there's five really strong Asian competitors and then probably four fairly strong US competitors. And I think like two European competitors, maybe. So it's already, it's starting to heat up. Like even, and that doesn't seem like much, but you have to think about these things on the same level as cars. Because that's like the numbers that I'm thinking of in my head, right? Like the dude from Figure is talking about wanting, like his goal is to try to ship something. I think he said like 2 billion units before 2030, right?
I don't
Which
have
to me
to.
is, it's that's nuts. Like
Crazy to think about.
yeah.
But
And it's like if even if he does a quarter of that, right? Like even if he's doing 500 million that's like, that's weird to me. Like, I don't know what, I'm not entirely, sure.
Is there a saturation moment?
I mean, like, you know, cause that's basically saying, and what does he mean? Like, how could you ship a, you know, 2 billion units within that time? Again, if you've not seen the latest figure, I knew it was eventually coming. It's just like, it's funny only in that I thought he was going to straight focus on industrial and he was going to leave domestic for somebody else. But then it seemed like, you know, he basically started having the same thing I would, which is like, hey, you're building these robots. Like, it's that whole Chappie moment of right. Like, well, I want to bring it home too.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but you know, here's where we start crossing lines or whatever. You know, that being the case, I thought it was going to be celebrities. I was like, oh yeah, surely it'll be, you know, they're going to have it and then a celebrity is going to buy it and then you'll see it, you know, on TV or whatever. And then people are going to want to get it. No, people are really already like foaming at the mouth, like waiting. Oh yeah. Something that can do laundry and take care of all the menial tasks that I have. And so it's like, imagine the productivity that you get back from having all of that time taken off of your hands. Right. Especially if you were like, if you're a manual laborer, right? And I'm not talking about like plumbers or anything just yet, though I can see that in, I don't know, a year, something like that. I mean, and if you're saying like, oh no, because of the hand dexterity, like again, you need to catch yesterday's episode where they're having it do is just copy what a human does. So it's only going to take like a plumber or two or whatever, or, you know, handyman, whatever it might be. Like they're just going to record what they're doing in every single instance of repair. And then you're taking care of stuff.
Yeah. And this is why, like, the moat, we keep talking about the moat and like the new innovation is how agile and good at go to market, like you can be, and how fast. Because, like, yeah, that, like, when you can just say, look at this thing and make one just like it, like, reverse engineer anything just by looking at it, and, like, which is what AI can do, like, it's going to be very hard to innovate in the old ways, at least. And, like, that's where maybe you put energy into trying to, you know, make it look a certain way on the outside and then you're doing things on the inside. But like all of that energy and like trying to hide will take away from your ability to be agile and fast, and to where like he needs to be in a place where like this is the kind of stuff that's unheard of, where you focus on industrial. And then you just decide to put it in the home too, like going from B2B, like B2B industrial to like B2C consumer goods, right? Companies don't do that. No. Not without like massive restructuring and resource change and all this stuff. And now you can, you just have to like, again, it's that level of innovation of what the problem is and how you want to solve it, right? And how you want to solve it in a way that doesn't like pigeonhole you or sets up the foundation. Like if you know you're building the foundation, like that's what's happening. Like there is a raising foundation as AI learns, as all of this convergence happens in all these different aspects. Again, I think this is another spot where there's so much nuance and there's so much space to create a successful, like even manufacturing business related to data centers or energy or robotics or like AI systems. I mean, we're just scratching the surface at the moment.
And it's, that's just looking at it again, from like, I mean, that's also zeroing in on a robotics level and on a physical level. And we talk about marketing and we talk about decision making and then, you know, sometimes, and we touch on health, right? And how much of an increase this does in health. And you hear me and Chris talk about what this does, not just economically, but just like for people in general, like for the world in general. And you'll hear us mention abundance, and you'll hear us talk about like an era of abundance and what that means and what that looks like. So I just wanted to do like a real quick rundown, because one of the things that I leverage a lot is Perplexity tasks. I really missed GPT tasks because I use them all the time, every day.
Do you want me to share a screen?
Yes. All right. And so one of the tasks that I have set up for Perplexity is that on a weekly basis, it'll go and it'll research and show me what are the most meaningful recent AI breakthroughs and updates in Alzheimer's and dementia for the last week. This is a weekly. This is not a monthly. This is just on a weekly basis. Okay. Primary highlights: zero cost AI driven digital detection workflow embedded in primary care EHRs increased new Alzheimer's and related dementia diagnoses by 31% and triggered 41% more appropriate follow-up assessments, demonstrating scalable early detection without added clinician burden. Researchers reported a highly sensitive diagnostic approach to that stages dementia using neurovascular and metabolic signatures, suggesting AI-enabled stratification beyond symptom sources scores alone. Institutions highlighted that AI can materially cut the cost and time of Alzheimer's detection in real-world clinical settings, supporting wide deployment in primary care populations 65 plus via patient portals and passive digital markers. I know that sounded like a whole lot of technical stuff, but it wasn't, because of the fact that it basically said that for senior citizens, through just a patient portal online and passive digital markers — what's a passive digital marker? I got to tell you, even my wife is using one of these, and it's awesome. It's really awesome. I'm actually going to look into one myself. She has a non-invasive digital device. Like she's basically kind of a cyborg, kind of, not really. Like she hasn't replaced a part of her body with something, but she's enhanced. Yeah, we'll say that, right? She's digitally enhanced now. She has a marker that's embedded on her arm, and embedded, it's a pin. It's a fairly long pin. And it's basically punched into her arm. And then there's, you know, tape that covers it or whatever to make sure that it stays in place. And it has a Bluetooth connection to her phone, and it shows her constant. Imagine, you guys know the cost on these things. It can show her all the same stuff, obviously, that you see on your iPhone or your iWatch, you know, blood pressure, all that kind of stuff. But it can also show her blood glucose levels. So it's a glucose monitor that is super, super tiny, that doesn't have like a whole lot of, like, I've seen what like the waistline ones look like. I've seen a lot of the like on-person glucose monitors. They suck. They suck real bad. And they definitely, yeah, they're fairly bulky. I'm sure they're like, you have to get newer, more really expensive ones, right? To have that whole like digital connection to your phone and have alerts and stuff and download our app and then subscribe to our app every month or whatever. Like, so you're paying whatever price. Here you have this one-time purchase device that doesn't require any sort of upkeep in terms of like battery, and like battery is really easy to replace. No big deal. A little watch battery lasts like whatever, 3-5 years, something like that. And then boom, instant connection, like native. That's what just makes sense, is this like, oh yeah. And you use an app to monitor it and check everything out. and it lets you know, like, it'll give you the really cool part about it is that it'll send you messages and it'll say like, hey, you know, your blood sugar is starting to spike a little bit. Why don't you get up and just, you know, stretch for a minute, you know, do like overhead stretches a couple times or whatever, you know, just something to get some burn up some of that energy or whatever it is. Right.
And based on real data instead of just, like deciding once an hour or, you know, putting these notifications on your phone that like you inevitably, ignore because they're arbitrary. And like, this world of like, man, everywhere. Like if you just ask AI to do some of this stuff, like it's sitting there waiting for you to ask it to do better things, right? Like this, where it's like it can, using real data, give you real advice. And I think for a lot of humans, that's going to subconsciously change the way we ignore or not ignore notifications. Like for me, it matters that like the difference between arbitrary and subjective and objective, like is this suggestion being made to me right now, like just because somebody thought it was a good idea, or there's a best practice information somewhere else and this is how everybody else does it, or is it based on actual data that relates to me as an individual and how I work, how I operate, how my body works, right? Yeah. Now with ADHD, ignoring anything's always on the table, but just knowing, giving it that little more meaning, like I wouldn't be surprised if subconsciously it's like less of a fight to get me to follow those kinds of directions, because it's not just even going to the doctor, like these one-time blood tests that just like, okay, we're going to decide like the next year's worth of like things we're going to do based on one, you know, test at one moment in time.
Right.
Like, no, like that's, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, again, for me, like Alzheimer's and dementia is like, it's a big thing altogether. I dealt with it from like an end user perspective when I was, end user perspective. I say that from like, yeah, I know.
thank you for repeating it, because I would have missed that. Man, we're in SAS.
Yeah, I know.
Dealing with my parents from an end user perspective.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so good.
All right. So yeah, having that experience, it definitely opens your eyes to like, hey, this is a pretty serious problem, and it's actually getting worse and worse, and it's worse, you know, getting worse in the sense that it's like cancer, like it's just increasing in number. And without like really being able to understand causality. Yes. And we're starting to get there. You know, shocker, sugar is involved. like AI is going to find out all the stuff that we really don't want to know that we knew was doing some terrible stuff, right?
Yeah. It's going to do a bunch of research and it's going to come back and like, yep, sugar.
Yeah.
Like, remember that? I have to do that.
Isn't natural that you haven't had for like millennia, that all of a sudden you shoved into your face in the last like 50, 60 years because it tasted so good and ends up being more addictive than cocaine for mice. Like, yeah, it turns out that causes a serious problem.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing, like, let's say we get to super intelligence and it's like, yeah, we're done that, guys. Sorry, you actually don't need it. And it's all like cost and no profit, like, if to the human race. So yeah, we're done with sugar. Like,
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, like I actually made a very concerted effort over the last, not to branch off into this or get into dietary stuff at all, but just in terms of like, it's to me, it's really just another like case of validation, to be honest with you, because you know, I tell people all the time, like tenant number three, it just knows all the things. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think that it does, it can find it out, right? And it can do the cross-referencing. So, yeah, I mean, that was, you know, topic of discussion. It's not like this hasn't been known for a long time, but of course it's validation. And so, yeah, having done it myself, like, you know, not entirely, it's not like I don't consume sugar at all, but the type of sugar I consume now is very different. Like raisin, based or, you know, fruit based as opposed to like cane sugar based. And, yeah, it's shocking. It's seriously shocking. Like you try to eat something that is commercially made with sugar, you can't really have more than like two bites before you're just like, holy shit. What? Like that's way too sweet. Like how the hell? Like I used to, you know, I'm not going to joke. I used to get, I'm sure my friend, Mark is a huge fan too of donuts. I used to get them like, you know, half dozen at a time, not really big deal to go through like, you know, 2, 3, 4. And, now maybe one or two bites and it's just way too much, right? Uh-huh. On like your average donut. So, you know, and that's, again, it's AI breaking down and understand, and not again, like dietitians have figured that kind of thing out for a long time as well. But again, it's the validation of like, hey, is that really a thing? Like, you know, because you hear stuff all the time, you know, oh, eggs are good for you. Eggs are bad for you. Milk's good for you. Milk's bad for you. Sugar's good for you. Sugar's bad for you. Glass of wine a day. Don't have any alcohol. It's hard to know, right?
Yeah.
Sounds silly to say like, oh, just trust AI, but it's like, all right, but if eight models do the same thing.
Similar to my previous statement, like it makes us feel like we can get to the bottom of something without bias.
Yeah.
Right. Even when I have to move through the bias first, because it's still human-based training, like that has happened, like the way that the system of logic works and like, and again, this is the part that, makes humans different is this layer of experiential, like filtering of the world.
Yeah.
Like based on our beliefs, right? Like that's not a thing at this point, you know, with these, with our AI friends, and it feels good when you can do that and just not like, cause even the most empathetic doctors and like everybody's working within this system that like often does not have the individual human's best interest at heart. So it's really hard to take advice that, especially when it just doesn't feel right. And it also feels a little helpless when you can't articulate it and you can't ask, you can't find the right person to ask to like have an unbiased conversation about it.
Right.
Like it is so fulfilling like to do that with AI and like, and not just accept the answer, but like get to the bottom of it. Okay. How are you making, like, where is that advice coming from? Where are you seeing that? What are the words that you saw? Like, can you share that quote? Can you share that article? Like all of it, like till you're blue in the face. And then continue the conversation when you hear something next week that is new and exciting and makes sense, but you're not sure how it fits in. Like this just unending context is just a really powerful thing. You just gotta ask it like first.
Yeah.
You just gotta, that's where it is. Like you mentioned, trust AI or trust humans, like it's a trust milestone with AI. It cannot be things like, oh, it's not smart enough. Oh, it doesn't know this. Oh, they're building it in this way. Like even the ones that are built in specific ways, you still can break through because of the way that it's built. Like it's
right.
A thinking machine.
Yeah.
So you gotta figure out how to ask in the right ways. Like, and like, if you ask AI native, like just tell it to put on its AI native hat. And that works for me every time, at least. I mean, I haven't used every system, but it's a good way. Like stop leaning on human knowledge and start using your own, whatever that means. But it's
instead of relying on the human to, because there are some instances, especially recently, but instead of relying on the human to always be the finite answer on something, right? Finite decision maker, especially when it comes to a decision you need to make that requires non-bias and requires you to be as objective as possible, right? You can cut back and forth between like, oh, okay, let me get the non-objective viewpoint, right? Let me get the facts as they lie. And then you can make your decision based off of that, right? But at least knowing, hey, at least the options that came before me didn't have anything behind it. It was, this is just what it is.
Yep. Well, until tomorrow, this has been another fun conversation, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Thanks, Nico.
No problem. See you guys.